Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. And what we're going to be talking about today is how to reap the rewards of honor, a harvest from honor seeds that you have sown. Amen. And we're going to be coming from in your book, if you want to follow along, around page 154. In the book, Spirit of Honor. Amen. We're going to get into a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, showing forth the praises of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., Lord God, who is the visionary and president of this great Bible school here, Lord God. And we trust, Lord God, that in these last two sessions that we'll wrap up everything that need to be touched upon. And Father, as always, Holy Spirit, I trust you showing up in this class, because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm leaning and relying and trusting in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. How to reap rewards of honor, a harvest from honor seeds sown. What do you think it takes for a person's life to demonstrate and to reap rewards of honor? Does it happen automatically? No, as you know, it doesn't. Absolutely not. There is a process that must be followed, and that's so very important. You must first learn how to sow honor seeds consistently and consecutively over a period of time before you can walk in the true rewards of honor. Amen. So you first must know how to sow seeds of honor. Amen. Consistently and consecutively. Amen. When developing generational anointing or generational blessings from the father to the son and passing it down to the children, whether it is our physical sons and daughters from birth or spiritual sons and daughters in ministry, there is a seven-step developmental plan to develop the seeds of honor. The first step in that plan is that, first of all, you must be called. The reason why I'm saying that you must be called, because there must be a call of God on your life, not only just in the fivefold ministry gifts, but there's also a call for the ministry of helps. God anoints us and he equips us to do specific things. He'll lead you to a ministry, and he'll take those God-given talents and abilities that you have so that you can undergird your man of God. So it's not just a call for the fivefold ministry, but I believe with all my heart there is also a call for the ministry of helps, because it is just as important, amen, because the man of God, the pastor, cannot do it all by himself. He needs other people surrounding him to support the ministry, amen. So called into the fivefold ministry or called into the ministry of help, both of these are equally as important. The seven steps are, and I want to give you those seven steps so that you'll have them if we don't complete. I'm going to probably do the first two or three this class session and the last three or four the next class session. The first one is called. The second one is commissioned. The third one is you must be competent in ministry. The fourth is your conduct has to be right, amen, good moral conduct. The fifth is continuity. There must be a continuation of the process that was started and keep moving forward. In ministry, there should be no back steps. We shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel, but we need to move forward and make the process more smoother. And then the next, our number six is you must have confidence. And that's so very important, to have confidence in ministry. And then the last is there must be control. There's got to be self-control. Amen. And we'll cover all seven of these steps. Okay, the first step is that you must be called. So what does it mean to be called? I'm going to read a definition here. A definition of being called is a strong urge, or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill the vocation or the assignment, a divine call to be called or summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, and assignment. That's so very important. You got to know and settle it in your heart that God has called me into the fivefold ministry, or that God has called me to work in the ministry of helps. You know, I use the illustration a lot of times. There's really should be no bench warmers in the body of Christ. You know, I played basketball coming up in high school, and I never did like to sit on the bench. I wanted to participate and to be involved in the game 24/7 or whenever we played a team. You know, so it's so very important that we get involved, you know, and I don't even use the word even if we're working in the ministry of helps. But if God has called you to a certain area, the ministry of helps, it's your responsibility and your commitment to God to get involved in that assignment. Amen. All right. You are also called to serve, and I just talked about the ministry of helps. God blesses you with gifts, special skills, and talents for you to glorify him, amen, to help undergird the ministry and the man of God that God has called you to serve under. And that's so very important. You know, in the calling, that you're called to an assignment. You know, very few people are just called and just launch out into ministry ASAP. I don't think that's even the case, and it shouldn't be the case, because there's got to be a grooming process. There's got to be a nurturing process. There's got to be a time of preparation. There's got to be a time where you're on the backside of the mountain and nobody really sees what you're doing, but you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. And by doing it as unto the Lord, God sees you and he rewards you for your commitment and your faithfulness. Amen. And as you pass certain tests, you're promoted to different levels to where you now begin to walk into your God-given calling. Amen. All right. God calls you into ministry, but he will use other ministry gifts to confirm that calling. You know, your pastor will confirm that calling. You know, the person that you submit to in ministry, your spiritual father, should be the one who confirms. And we're going to talk about confirming or commissioning in the second step. But but you need to know that it's not just the call, but the call has to be confirmed. Amen. All right. Proverbs 11:4 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that's why it's so very important to if you feel that you have a call on your life, to express that to your pastor. And he'll be the one to help confirm it and to help you be launched out in ministry properly. Amen. All right. Also, too, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace, which is a special endowment. This is Ephesians 4:7. It's given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men, he that ascended, that is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Okay, verse 11 is where we really hitting, 11, 12, and 13. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And why is that? So that we can all come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature person, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts is to help mature the body of Christ. And so if you're called into the fivefold ministry, your purpose is to help mature and to get men and women ready so that they can fulfill their assignments for God. Amen. If you are called into the ministry, you have been given by Jesus Christ as a gift to the body of Christ. You have to see yourself as being a gift, that God has blessed you and he has endowed you with the ability to fulfill your calling. Amen. Hallelujah. A calling from God is the first step towards being successful in ministry. If you are not called, it's no way that you will be successful in something that you're not called to do. Whom God calls, he also equips. So God will give you everything you need to fulfill your God-given destiny, your vocation, if there's a genuine calling there. Amen. And one of the things I always like to tell people is to stay in your lane, or to stay in your area of anointing. If it's a teacher, you stay in that until God blesses you or elevates you to another level. You don't promote yourself. You let God promote yourself. And as you walk faithfully in what God has called you to do, then promotion comes. But you don't do the promoting. God does promoting. The Bible says in Psalms 127:1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walk awake it in vain. So except the Lord build the house. God has got to build the house. It's got to be something God had designed. If not, your labor is going to be in vain. Jeremiah 1:5 says, God told the prophet Jeremiah that he was called. And I'm going to read Jeremiah 1:5. It says, behold, I formed thee in thy belly. I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So here God is calling Jeremiah. So in every aspect, there's a calling, and that calling comes from God. Amen. God has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, God also, Ezekiel was also called by God. The Apostle Paul constantly opens his writings by saying he was called by God. Jesus called him. In Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful of in Jesus Christ. So here he's talking about a calling, okay? A calling from God. In Acts 9:15-16, God tells Ananias that Saul was a chosen vessel. He said, for this purpose was, and even with Jesus, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's a calling. And then when I was talking in Acts 1:15-16, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go ye thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. It's talking about Paul. To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Here again, a calling from God. Because Ananias thought, hey, what I've heard about Paul or Saul was that he persecuted Christians. But the Lord says he's a chosen vessel, you know, to bear my name. You know, in other words, I've called him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that was the calling there. 2 Peter 1:10 and 12 and 13, Paul admonishes his sons in the gospel. Not only did Paul called, but Paul also admonished his sons who were in the gospel, a confirmation by others in ministry of your calling. It says, wherefore then, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. That word diligence means a constant and earnest effort to accomplish your undertaking, persistence to carry out your assignment. Amen. Wherefore, I'm just reading verse 12 now. Wherefore, this is 1 Peter 1:12. Wherefore I will not be negligent by putting you always in remembrance of the things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Every good and acceptable and perfect gift, as we know, comes from God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what apostolic government and apostolic order does. An apostolic anointing is for someone who has insight like an apostle or a prophet into the ways and the will of God. Someone with a heaven to earth connection. An apostolic anointing will keep the fire under your feet when you have a calling. That apostolic anointing will keep the fire under your feet concerning your call. When I first joined Word of Life, I'll never forget this, and it's very prevalent in my heart. I started in, I think, the last week in December, and by August, the School of Ministry, which is now Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, was about to start. The Lord put the desire in my heart to be in that charter class, you know. And soon after I graduated, 2 years later, I was in the apostle's office asking him questions about certain things that we were doing. And he answered my questions, but he also said, no. He said, don't leave out right now. There's another reason why you're in here. And I looked at him and said, I said, I hope I didn't do anything wrong. He said, no. He says, I want you to start going into the prisons with two other gentlemen who was already involved in prison ministry, because I want you now to begin to develop your gift. And you see, that's another important aspect of the call, is where your pastor or your apostle or your prophet now has assigned, what I can say, tasks that you can do, you know, ministry tasks, whether that's going to nursing homes, whether that's going to the hospital and ministering to those people who are going through challenges, to help you now to develop and to nurture your gift, you know. I don't like going, and I think I stated this once before, I don't like just going on my own ability. When my man of God gives me an assignment, I know now that some of his ability is going with me, because I've been sent and I just didn't went on my own. And so that's so very important. So let me move on. All right. Romans 11 and 29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So it's very important that we adhere to the call. All of this has to do with honor, because when you begin to walk in your God-given vocation, you're honoring God and you're honoring your man of God. And by doing so, God will honor you. Amen. As you are faithful and continue to be steadfast in your calling, you know, there's an honor due you by accepting the call, walking in the call, and the call, matter of fact, the call helps actually sustain you in ministry and in life, because, you know, you become valuable to God, and that's what you want to do. You want to be valuable to God. The Amplified Bible of Romans 11 and 29 says, "For God's gifts and his callings are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they have been given, and he does not change his mind about those from whom he gives grace or to whom he sends his call." Amen? So it's irrevocable. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, we'll read some of that. He says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you," this is Paul, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the office wherein you are called." The Amplified Bible says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord appeal and beg." He's begging the church to walk or to lead a life worthy of the divine call to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. The summons of God's service. I've never been summoned by the police or by a lawyer, but when you're summoned, you have to adhere to the summons. So God summons you into service. Amen? All right. "We do not give or bestow on ourselves gifts or talents, or take what gifts we want. Jesus gives gifts unto men." And the Bible says, and if I continue reading, it talks about he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts unto men. Whom God calls, he equips. He gives you the gifts, the talents, and the abilities in order to execute and to really fulfill the call that God has for your life. Let's see. I'm just trying to look at some other aspects. Okay, let me read this from, I guess this is 1 Timothy 1 through 9. And I'm going to start at verse 6. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand." This is the apostolic in operation. One-way gifts, transfers of anointing occurs is by the laying on of hands. That's done in apostolic authority, in apostolic government, in apostolic order. You got to be careful if somebody is not apostolic or not walking in. You can't be conferred into ministry by somebody who hadn't been conferred into ministry prior to you. You know, it don't work that way. Something Kenneth Hagin said years ago, that's like laying empty hands on empty heads. You know, if you're not anointed and you're not called, you can't call nobody else. So make sure that whom calls you, whoever calls you, God does the calling, but whoever confirms that they're under apostolic government, because you don't want a false calling. You want to make your calling and your election sure. Amen. All right. The call comes from God. The commissioning comes from godly men or people God has appointed. Amen. When you find individuals that are called spiritually by God and confirmed physically by apostolic government, when you find them, you put them into their calling. Amen. Amen. If you will honor the call and speak into the call, it is the first step towards reaping the rewards of honor. This is what the apostolic is doing through LTMA and Word of Life Christian Center, you know, and Ever Increasing Word Training Center, which is lighting the torches of ministry around the world. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, who was working the family farm, was commissioned into ministry by Elisha after the instructions he received from God in the cave. For Elisha to be honored as a prophet, he first had to show honor by ministering and serving Elijah, his man of God, or his spiritual father. Elisha served Elijah for many years, over 20 years, and never left the man of God and stayed close to him. That's so very important. Yeah. Because here it says in 1 Kings 19 and 16, it says how Jehu the son of Nisha had thou anointed to be king over Israel. This is God talking to Elijah. And Elijah the son of Shaphat of, I can't pronounce the name, Abelmohioiah, has thou anointed to be prophet in thy room. You know, so he departed hence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And when he was with the 12, would Elijah pass by and cast his mantle upon him. So Elijah cast his mantle upon Elijah, which was commissioning. Now, just to kind of let you know, we already jumped over into the second aspect of ministry, which is the commissioning part. Amen. So the first aspect we said was the call. Then the next aspect we said is you got to not only be called but be commissioned. Okay, so here we see that Elijah was commissioned by Elijah, you know, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, I pray thee let me pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will come and follow thee. And he said unto them, go back again, for what have I to do with thee? I didn't call you. In other words, he didn't call you. God called you. I'm just here to confer that calling by commissioning you, by putting an anointing on you to get you ready for the call that God has for your life. Amen. And it says, and he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bawled the flesh with the instruments of the ox and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, Elijah, went after Elijah and ministered, served, and waited on Elijah, ministered unto him. That word ministered unto him means he served him. And I stated he served him for over 20 years. Elijah, now this is important. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which represents the anointing, was cast upon Elijah, he began to prepare for ministry. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. Matter of fact, Elijah did what God told him to do. He cast a mantle on Elijah. And it was up to now Elijah to go with it, to run with it, and to serve the man of God that commissioned him. Okay, here's another good illustration of Elijah, serving Elijah. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servant answered and said, here is Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on Elisha's hands. In other words, here's somebody who's been serving Elijah for all these years. You know, he must have something because the key here is serving. You know, once you're called and you're commissioned, now you got to serve. You serve your man of God. You serve the person that God has placed you under. And that's so very important. Elijah continued to serve Elijah up to the very end until Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind. To reap, here's another important point you're going to have to remember. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophet who stayed in the distance. They were like secret disciples. Those who stayed in the distance didn't get anything. But here's the key here. But Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel, or to a supernatural money come to you conference, or a healing revival. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The key is, even though Elijah was trying to push him off, he wanted to see how committed he was. You know, a lot of times, your man of God will ruffle your feathers to the point where to see how committed you are, and because you got to put your feelings aside. It's not about feelings, but it's about you being committed to the assignment. Amen. And a lot of times you go through tests. Sometimes not the test may not be pleasant, and I've shared some tests that I've went through. But what it does, it fortifies your position in God and your position in sticking with your man of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's so very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this here. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. I read it, but it bears repetition. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophet who stayed at a distance. Don't be a secret disciple. Those who stayed in the distance didn't get anything. And then he said how, you know, Elijah told Elijah, I'm going to Bethel. You know, he says, as my soul liveth and the Lord liveth, I'm not going to leave you. And then even in another instance, he says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan, for a special purpose. And he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I would not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, secret disciples. And they too stood by Jordan. Notice all but one, Elijah, stayed close to the prophet. And the others were afar off. If God calls you to somebody, when they have a meeting, you need to be there because impartation is being taking place. And you need to get that impartation, you know, and that's so very important that you get it, because certain things can't just be taught. They have to be caught. You have to see it in operation. You got to see what God wants you to see, because he's showing you your future. He's showing you you're going to operate like this. But you got to see an anointed man of God operating under the anointing, you know, and you're hooked up to that anointing. So now you can flow in that self-same anointing. Amen. And that's so very important that you understand that. Hallelujah. Elijah was honored because he served faithfully his man of God and received all that he needed in ministry. Don't ever leave until the process is complete. And one of the things I want to point out that Elijah performed twice as many miracles as Elijah because he asked for a double portion and he got exactly what it is he asked for. Amen? All right. Let me move on. All right, and in talking about the commission, and I'm giving you a definition, the act or granting of delegated certain powers of authority, privileges are granted, or granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands. Read it again. This is the definition of commissioned. The act of granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privileges, or grantings the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry. Usually, this is conferred on by the laying on of hands. Being sent out and released properly in ministry is so very important. Acts 13:1, where Paul and Barnabas were commissioned and sent out by the apostles. The authority so granted by one is delegated in delegated authority. An apostle or a prophet or somebody under apostolic government commissioning you into ministry. The commissioning, you know, even in the secular, there's certain types of commissioning. There's a commissioning of the police chief. You know, the matter or task of authorizing, to authorize someone for service. When they have the inauguration of the president, what they also call as the transfer of power, where one president is leaving office and another president is getting into office. There's words he put his hands on the Bible and he's sworn in the office. And then there's also what is known as the transfer of power, but it's a commissioning. And commissioning is to grant authority for something to be made or done, placed in order. There is proper order in the kingdom of God that must be followed and submitted to. You know, commissioning also to authorize or to engage somebody to do something. You can commission an architect to build a building. When a ship in the Navy, before it goes out to sea, is commissioned. And is sent out. Jesus appointed 70. This is an example of the disciples being commissioned into ministry service. I think it was like and then you want to look at Acts 19, I think it's around 19 and 13, about the sons of Sceva, who didn't get commissioned and went out on their own, and what happened to them. Well, Acts 19, it talks about the commissioning. But in Luke 10:1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and went them two by two before his face and into every city and place whither he said would come. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are submitted unto us through thy name. That's Luke 10:1. So here we see because they were commissioned and laying hands was laid upon them, they had the authority and the power to go out and to preach the gospel with signs following. Amen. And I got a footnote here. It says, he did not send them out empty-handed. They had the name of Jesus, and they had the power back in that name of Jesus, because they were properly commissioned and sent out by God, amen, or by Jesus. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered or granted authority and sent out, authorized by God or God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly, proper protocol. Very important that we understand that. Here in 1 Timothy 4 and 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbyter. You know, so here again, a laying on of hands. Don't neglect the gift, you know, the calling. And the laying on of hand commissions you to go out, and you need not neglect that, but put it in operation. Here's another illustration with Paul commissioning disciples. Titus 1 and 5. For this cause I left Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Now that's so very important. He says, I need to set some things in order, the things that are wanting or lacking, and order and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. In other words, to keep things in divine order. He said there were some things that were lacking and elders needed to be set up. So Paul says, I commissioned I set those things in order. He says, and ordained elders. And in that ordination, I'm pretty sure hands was laid upon those men to accomplish their goal and their mission that God had set for them. Amen. All right. Paul is talking about setting in order the things that are lacking in Titus 1 and 5. God's kingdom must be set up in divine order for it to function properly. The government of God must be set up properly. If the government of God's kingdom is not set up properly, there will be it will become dysfunctional, not producing what God intended for it to produce. Those who are called must secondly be commissioned, ordained before they can successfully go out and execute the kingdom mandate. You never want to go out in ministry without the blessing of your man of God on your life. Amen. All right. There is an order of the kingdom that must be performed in order for God's hand to be on it. It must be performed and followed in order for God's hand to be on it. Even when Jesus was commissioned by John the Baptist, when he was, went to be baptized by John, John the Baptist had to baptize Jesus to establish an order of the kingdom that allowed the Holy Spirit to fall upon Jesus without measure. And because order was followed, God was pleased, and Jesus now can begin his earthly ministry. Matthew 3:13-15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, and John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so, for thus is becoming us to fulfill all the righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, it's got to be this way. This is how God ordained it to be. Even, you know, when Jesus told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they'd be endued with power from on high, you know. And so when the Holy Spirit came, this was a form of commissioning them now to be able to go out and to do ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm trying to see, make sure I'm covering everything. Amen. Even Titus commissioned people. You know, there has to be a Titus who can be commissioned to Crete and a Timothy sent out to Ephesus or Corinth. You know, so all of these are commissionings. Amen. All right. You cannot fulfill a spiritual office in the natural. You must be supernaturally, spiritually endowed. By being commissioned or hands being laid upon you in order to walk into your God-given calling. Amen? And that's so very important. Those who were not sent out properly and who are now trying to send others out, as I stated before, you know, that's like laying empty hands on empty heads with no power, no transfer of anointing. So you want to make sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are properly commissioned. And this is one last thing I want to state here. When a spiritual father commissions sons who are trained and developed in ministry, their chances of success in ministry are huge because they have received a transfer or a proper transfer of anointing from their spiritual father. I'm going to read that again. When a spiritual father commissions spiritual sons who are trained and developed in ministry, their chances of success in ministry becomes huge because they have received a proper transfer of the anointing from their spiritual father. With that being said, we're going to conclude and we're going to continue next week with the third step or the third way of producing honor. See you next week.